Hi, I'm Steve Todd, and you're listening to Musicians FAQ, a radio program focused on learning more about the musicians that are entertaining you around Waterloo Region. We're featuring your favorite local singer, guitar player, or drummer, learning how they got started, influences, funny stories about past gigs, and upcoming performances. You'll also hear some great recordings of their work. In addition, we'll be learning about others in the music industry that are helping to maintain a vibrant music scene. This is Musicians FAQ. Hey, thanks a lot for listening into Musicians FAQ. Today we're going to be sitting with John Ladds. And again, this is another interview that we had to do with Skype just because of the COVID-19. So the audio sometimes is not the best, but we're trying as hard as we can to put a good show together. In past shows, we were able to visit musicians at bars and restaurants or wherever they're playing. And unfortunately, we can't do that now, but there's tons of pre-recorded music that John had available. And he also had his Facebook watch party. So you're going to be in for a real treat. There's lots of great music that you're going to hear. I've known John since we were both 16-year-olds at Cameron Heights, and we both sort of learned guitar together at the same time, feeding off each other. And I still have the pleasure of playing with John occasionally throughout the year. So let's catch up with John. This is part one of two. So enjoy. It's going to be a great program to listen to. Thank you. All right. So we're sitting here on Skype again. This is the second Skype interview we're doing. Last time we tried with Kevin Westwell, it went fairly well. Now we have John Ladds. And he's the, right from the very start, I think he was the first person I wanted to get on the radio program, and we finally got him on. I think we're about 30 episodes in, and so John agreed to join us on Skype. So thanks a lot, John.
Hey, you're welcome, Steve. My pleasure.
Yeah, and we've known each other for probably most of our lives, but why don't you tell the CKMS listeners a little bit about you, where you're from, and how long you've been playing music for it.
Sure, Steve. Yeah, I'm from Kitchener. I grew up in Kitchener, Waterloo, and like you said, Steve, we've known each other since we've been 16 years old or something like that. And we both had a lot more hair. I think you're a big reason why I play music. Honestly, you had a big influence on me, and you know, anybody that was really into music that really oozed a lot of musicality, so to speak, that really rubbed off on me. And you were one of those guys. You got me into jazz at 16, 17. Everyone else is listening to, you know, we were children of the 80s. Everyone else is listening to Duran Duran and, you know, Def Leppard and stuff like that. You had me listening to Pat Metheny and...
Oh, yeah. Ed Bickert and all the different jazz guys. So that's great.
So my mother... was a Royal Conservatory piano teacher. So she felt very strongly, she knew that I wanted to play guitar, but she felt very strongly, and I did freestyle for a number of years, but she wanted to get some classical training into me. Now, it didn't stick because it's way too disciplined for me, but it certainly was good training.
Oh, for sure.
I learned from a guy, his name was Tibor Puskas, and he was an old Hungarian guy that lived on Ezra back when it used to still be somewhat of a residential street for those of you from Waterloo area. So I'm just kind of, I guess I'm a, you know, these days I'm a 52-year-old father of three boys, my boys, Ben, Sam, and Josh, and my wife, Dawn, and, you know, I'm a family guy. I have a full-time, I'm in the franchising business, but you know, as far as music goes, I'm a weekend warrior. I'm really not sort of satisfied with my time off unless I'm doing something musically. If I'm not playing, I'm going to see somebody play. So it's definitely my passion and how I like to spend my time.
Yeah, this is really hard right now with this COVID not being able to play at all. Like, I know a lot of these guys are doing watch parties, yourself included, but just not being able to go out and set up your equipment and give people a hug and play some music and see some, you know, people clapping and smiling, that's pretty tough, eh?
It is tough, Steve. And, you know, I've done two Facebook live shows. And I mean, I guess if there's a benefit to it, it's really, really tough playing to an empty room and not hearing anyone clap or react at the end of a song. But the flip side of it is, you know, I probably had the biggest audiences I've ever had. I probably had 200 or so people watching me. So, I mean, for me, for a guy that plays small bars and small pubs, it was fun, and it's fun to watch the reaction of people. But yeah, you're right. I can't wait to get back out there and play in front of a live room.
Yeah. The other thing that I heard that's supposed to be, that we'll hopefully see in the, probably the fall or something, is all these different bands are at home probably recording and writing and rewriting. And there's probably going to be some amazing music that comes out of this whole situation. A whole bunch of probably different bands will have new stuff.
Yeah. And you know, what I find, I mean, there's a lot of great music out there. A lot of people say that there's no good music these days, but you just have to know where to look.
All right, at this time, why don't we listen to a little bit of John Ladd's. Here he is playing the Tragically Hip, Ahead by a Century, and it was taken from one of his watch parties, the Happy Hour Music Social. And John uses a lot of technology to sound fuller. He's a one-man band, but he'll use a looper and a harmonizer to sound like there's more people playing. So in this case, he's got his harmonizer going on the chorus. So let's have a listen to John.
Michelle. Anyways, I'm dating myself now. Hi, friends. Kevy Canuck here from Kitchener, Ontario, and you're listening to 102.7 CKMS Radio Waterloo.ca.
John, why don't you tell me how long you've been performing? I know you said we met each other when we were around 16, and you were already kind of playing some classical music, and you're being classically trained. Why don't you talk about some early things you did?
Sure, sure. Yeah, I you know, I think my musical beginning came from I took piano lessons. As I mentioned, my mom was a piano teacher, so I took piano lessons from her. And of course, when a parent tries to teach a child, it rarely works out. So
yeah,
You know, she had me playing in piano recitals. And then I got into, my father was an Anglican minister at a church in Kitchener, and I got into singing in the choir. So I did, you know, along with, you know, singing with the whole choir, I did a number of solos. I can remember, you know, walking up the aisle on Christmas Eve singing, you know, Once in Royal David City. So that was a lot of pressure for a young kid. And I was probably up to 10 years old when I started doing all that.
The neat thing is you learn... Yeah, you learn harmonies and stuff though at an early age, and that never really leaves you, right? So
you're right, yeah. Because in the choir, you've got, you know, sopranos, you've got descants, you've got alto, and you've got all these different parts. So yeah, you certainly do have a good foundation for harmony.
Oh yeah, yeah. Just standing up in front of people and playing is, that's pretty good at that age too.
Yep.
And then it sounds like you graduated to guitar after piano, then, right?
Yeah, so piano wasn't sticking for me. It was way too disciplined. I mean, my mother's one of those people that you put anything in front of her and she will play it absolutely perfectly. But if you take the music away, she can't play a lick. So I'm the polar opposite. I'm totally by ear. I can read music, but it's like, you know, pulling teeth to get me to do it. I just don't enjoy that. So it wasn't gelling, and I remember... I'll tell you a little story. I was in grade 6, and a friend of mine from across the street, his name was BJ Warboys. If you're listening, BJ, you'll remember this. We had to put a little musical number together for a talent show in our grade 6 class. And BJ had a really cool guitar. It was like a Les Paul. It was an imitation Les Paul, but I mean, I already thought he was cooler than me because he had this guitar. So we get up, I'm playing the piano and he's playing the guitar. We get up and we do this number. And there was a girl in the class that, and you remember, think back to grade 6. There was always that one girl, for all you guys out there, there was always that one girl that kind of just turned all the guys' heads. She was new in the class. She just moved. She was like there maybe 2 months. And her name was Brenda. And she... when we got done our song, everybody clapped. They were polite. And she says, "That was really good, but can BJ do another song just on his own?" So after I pulled the knife out of my heart, I thought, okay, I'm going to learn guitar.
So that's get the ladies.
Yep, for sure.
That's great. And I can see you went to Cortland. So that was where you went to grade 7 and 8. And you were playing, you actually played there too. You did a guitar.
Yeah, I did. So I was getting into guitar. I started taking lessons around 1981 from a guy named Bob McPhee. He taught down on Queen Street in Kitchener.
Okay.
And then Bob, I think he got into computer or something or other, and I ended up getting affiliated with Sherwood Music in Kitchener.
Okay.
And I ended up taking lessons from a guy named John Judge, who eventually was set up in a little place in Market Village. If people in Kitchener remember that area, but
I remember that really old Sherwood Music on right at Sterling and King, which is really cool. They had that small little store.
That's right. It was like a house converted into a store, and I bought my first guitar in there.
Yep.
I still have today.
All right. Here's a recording that John made recently, but he learned it back when he was in high school. And under the teachings of John Judge, it's called Bruin's Bane. It's a Rush song. It's from the 1981 Rush album, Exit Stage Left. And John remarked to me that he went to every single Rush concert from, like every year anyway, from 1984 to the final one in 2015. So huge Rush fan, and that was an influence. Later on, you'll hear some other music that he did that has a Rush similarity to it. All right, so let's listen to John playing Bruin's Bane.
you know, my first performance in front of sort of a larger group was at an assembly at Cortland Senior Public. And I was playing guitar with another girl, and there was a bunch of people singing, but we were playing Blown in the Wind by Bob Dylan. So,
oh, cool. Great. Yeah. Kind of cool. That's neat.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's, again, this is all stuff that you just, you slowly get up your confidence, like whether it's from the church to the grade six talent show to the grade seven and eight at Cortland. So you're building up just the ability to play in front of people, which is awesome at that age.
Yeah, that's right. You're, you know, you're super nervous, but you get a rush out of it, of course.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And then moving into high school, that's where we met. We met at in grade 10, I believe, in Cameron Heights. And both of us were really, really into guitar at the time. And
yeah, so you were in the high school band. I wasn't, but I was, yeah, I was really, by this point, I was full on into my lessons, and I'd just gotten into electric guitar. I think I got my first electric guitar in, I don't know, 1983 or something like that. So the bug had bit me pretty hard, so I was right into it. And then I met you, and it was all over. I mean,
yeah,
we both just, I think we were both into jazz, but we were both into, you know, ska and some more, you know, prog rock type stuff. Rush was a huge influence on me. I know that you too. What else? Bob Marley, the police were a huge.
Yeah. Even all that Triumph, Magic Power, like all those bands, like Van Halen was huge. I wasn't a really big Van Halen fan, but that was the era of the music, like crazy guitar solos and, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, so we got together with a guy named Mark McNeely, who was just a phenomenal drummer, very, very busy drummer. So, I mean, that drove a lot of our direction to that.
Yeah.
I think we were trying to be Rush or U2.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Something, but you know, it was interesting what we did, and it was a real education. We recorded, what did we do? We recorded six songs in 3 days over at Mark's place. And
you know, I remember that.
First foray into recording, because Mark's brother, Alan, was on the stage crew. So he knew how to operate all that equipment, and it was great memories.
All right, here's one of the songs that John was just talking about. It's called Independence Day, recorded in 1986. John was able to pull this off of an old cassette and convert it to MP3 for this program. So once again, John's playing guitar and singing. I'm playing a fretless bass, and Mark McNeely is on drums.
Hi, I'm Craig Beck from Kitchener, and you're listening to 102.7 CKMS Radio Waterloo.ca.
All right, we're back. Thanks for listening to Musicians FAQ. I'm Steve Todd, and let's continue our interview.
So let's move out of high school. So then you went to Brock, and you played a lot in residence. I guess singing in stairwells, and there's probably so many parties, residence parties, where you were probably playing constantly, right?
Yeah, you know, for the most part, Steve, I mean, a lot of my previous experience, I played, I didn't do a lot of playing and singing together. Aside from our band experience, I didn't do a lot of, most of the time when I was playing guitar, I wasn't singing, which was crazy because I was, you know, I was pretty good at both, but I never really put the two together. And then in university, of course, you're in residence and it's like, come on, get your guitar out, you know. And, you know, I knew a lot of songs, but I didn't know how to sing them necessarily that well. And I started putting the two together when we were just sitting in a stairwell or at a party. You know,
oh, yeah.
That's when it really came together for me, I think. And my confidence to go out and, you know, perform, I think really blossomed there because it was almost like a performance at a certain point, you know, after a couple of years there, people's like, oh, John's coming, he's going to bring his guitar. And, you know, there's that, you know what that's like, there's that pressure.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Like a beer, and the
after that, I know I didn't see it for probably several years. I know it. I can see in your little bio here, you had a trio with Mark and Greg. So I'm assuming Mark would be Mark Urshak. Is that correct?
Yep. Mark Urshak, who you know very well. Mark plays bass with me now and flute. And, you know, Mark plays a whole bunch of instruments. Very, very musical guy himself. And another fellow named Greg Upshaw. Greg was a singer-songwriter, still is a singer-songwriter. He was based in Cambridge at that time.
Okay.
So Mark and I met through my parents' neighbor, who was learning guitar from Mark. And we would sit around this guy. His name was Corey. And we would sit around this guy's table, dining room table, playing guitar. And Mark and I just really connected musically. And Mark was trying to start something up musically. And he met Greg. I want to say it was at the Black Walnut.
Folk,
which I know a lot of people would remember. Yeah. And I knew nothing about folk music at all. And I appreciated Mark's talent. And then when I met Greg, it was like, wow, this guy's voice was just off the charts. If you've heard Greg before, if you haven't, look him up because he's a fantastic singer. He just has that real deep baritone, just a classic kind of voice and great songwriter. And so, you know, when we met him, it was like, yeah, let's do this. So we did a lot of gigs around, you know, Kitchener, Waterloo, Cambridge, just a lot of great memories there. And when we would practice, we would get together and we would practice like three songs for 8 hours.
Okay. Yep.
Because it was so, we were so focused on, you know, what part each guy was going to sing. And I probably our best, there was two songs that we did the best, and that was Helplessly Hoping by Crosby, Stills, Nash.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And the other one was The Water is Wide. And I can't tell you who wrote that.
Yeah. The Water is Wide. That's a lot of bluegrass people play that one. Even like Keith Urban, he's got a version of it, I believe. So.
All right, let's hear a little bit of Mark Urshak on the flute. He's also quite an accomplished bass player and guitar player. And this recording is with John's six-piece band called the John Ladd's Band. And we're playing Van Morrison's Moon Dance. This was recorded in 2017 at the Rhapsody. And at the time, they were doing a weekly show called Women in Music. So we were asked to feature Yvonne Way and Allison King. So in this case, Yvonne's taking the lead vocal here. Mark is playing the flute. We had Jeff Gay on drums. I'm playing the bass. John's doing the lead guitar. You can certainly hear his Eric Clapton influence in his solo he's doing here. So let's enjoy Moon Dance. I
Hola, este es Alejandro Ramírez de Bogotá, Colombia. Usted está escuchando 102.7 CKMS Radio Waterloo. Saludos.
My appreciation for guys like, even like Acoustic Neil Young, right? I didn't really get that. James Taylor, you know, Harry Chapin, all those kind of guys, I didn't fully understand the power of that music until I got together with those guys. So that was a good education.
And then it sounds like after that, then at that point, then you kind of went off on your own and you started doing solo, more solo gigs, I guess, right?
Yeah, well, I got a little story about that, if I can, Steve. Yeah, so Greg and Mark and I played a lot, and then Greg was getting into some other directions. He was playing with a bass player and a drummer, two very talented guys, and I did some electric leads with him. I did some studio work with him, which was, again, another great education. And so I was playing a little bit on that end of things as well. When the trio kind of wound down a little bit, I was doing that. But then I think Greg and I were playing, we played a New Year's Eve gig, and I want to say the year was around 2002, and we were playing at the Arlington Hotel, which, as you know, is one of my main places that I play. It was the first time I'd ever played there, and, you know, we did this New Year's thing, and we got to know the manager. And then shortly after that gig, Greg moved out west, I think. I can't remember the reason why he moved, but he moved. So I thought, okay, I got a gig still. I got to do something here. I didn't have a PA, so I went out and I bought this really cheap PA, and I approached the manager at the hotel, and I said, you know, I think I want to do a gig here.
Yeah.
And so he kind of, you know, said, okay, like, because Greg was definitely the front guy for our, you know, when we did a duo show that night. So I was nervous as anything, but I set up this cheap little PA, not even sure if it was going to work, and I got in there and I'm playing, and I'm when you're playing in those pubs and you're just not sure whether people are responding.
Because, oh yeah. Yeah. You know,
to some degree, it's background music. And at one point I'm thinking, I wonder how this is going. And then the manager looks over at me and, you know, puts the okay sign up and goes, excellent music. He had an accent. He's like, excellent music. So I thought, you know what? I can do this. So it was really from that point forward that I just thought, you know what? I love doing this and I'm going to keep doing it. And I've literally, since 2003, I've been playing at least once a month for all these years later. So
yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
It's been a really great ride.
We'll be right back. just can't see.
All right, we're back. Thanks for listening to Musicians FAQ. I'm Steve Todd, and let's continue our interview.
And plus, as a one-man band, like you've gotten to know how to use loopers, and I've seen you with a foot, almost like a foot drum type thing. And so you sound like it sounds like a full. It sounds like you're listening to two or three guys, right?
Yeah, I think because I've played a lot of places where, you know, one place in particular, the Cedar House in Paris, where you can't fit. Like I literally would be standing at the bottom of a set of stairs where the servers would be coming by with the food, and I have to move my guitar neck out of the way so they could get the food.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So you're by yourself, and you're thinking, how can I fill this out a little bit more? So my wife Dawn bought me a looper pedal in the early 2000s, and you know that has done so much for my timing, and it's just a lot of fun. In the absence of playing with other people. Playing with other people is way better, but it's if you don't have anyone else there, it really fills out the sound nicely.
Yeah, I have one. I've got to learn how to use it more often too myself. So why don't you talk a little bit about who your inspirations are? And I know probably Rush is probably one of the biggest things as far as bands go. But why don't you talk a little bit about any other inspirations for playing music?
Sure. I mean, you know, I guess. I should start from the beginning, really, Steve. And I think my parents always tell me this story. I don't remember this. I might have been 2 or 3 years old, but they took me to a Vienna Boys Choir concert. And I don't even know where it was. But they said that about 5 to 10 minutes into the performance, I stood up on my chair and I started waving my arms like I was conducting the choir. And I, you know, they kept trying to make me sit down and I kept getting back up. So they recognized at that point that I had some sort of musicality in me. I mean, mom was a piano teacher. Dad played harmonica. And as I mentioned, he was a minister. And in the Anglican church, anyway, a lot of the liturgy was sung. You know, I would listen to a lot of different priests sing and not sing very well. And I can proudly say that my father, and I'm a little biased, but was probably one of the better singers that I heard as far as priest singing, you know, a liturgy in the church. So yeah, my influences started from mom's piano lessons. You know, learning some music theory really helped. Those Kiwanis singing festivals, you know, picture picture the Von Trapp family, you know, when they're standing there with their hands folded and they're singing on the stage. That's how I had to stand at this Kiwanis Music Festival. And there were adjudicators, you know, analyzing every single syllable that you'd sing. And it was so nerve-wracking.
But yeah, that's crazy. Yeah.
Again, it was a part of my musical foundation. Then when I was in the church choir, I mean, I don't know if you've sung much traditional church music, but it is really, really good vocal training because there's a lot of breath control. There's a lot of notes you got to hold, like, way longer than traditional, you know, music.
Yeah.
So there was a choir director. I'm always amazed. You said Rush was a huge influence on me. And I'm amazed by people that can multitask. You know, Geddy Lee is known for that. Neil Peart was known for that. You know, Geddy Lee would be, you know, hitting these bass pedals and playing the bass and singing and doing all this stuff. Well, this choir director, Dorothy Evans, who I don't know how many people I saw her. People say that they don't have good pitch. I saw her get kids singing on pitch within 2 weeks. I don't know how she did it.
Yeah,
but I witnessed it. I, you know, she made unmusical people, if that's a word, musical in you know, the better part of a month. When she would operate this, you know, the old pipe organs with the, you know, three keyboards and all the pedals and all the old valve stop things that you pull in and out.
Yeah,
she'd be you know, operating these pedals. She'd be pulling out in and out the stops. She'd be turning the pages. She'd be singing, and she'd be hitting us to keep us in line at the same time. She was a freak of nature.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's another influence.
All right. Well, we're approaching the end of part one of our interview with John Ladd. So stay tuned. For the next couple of weeks, you'll hear part two. Lots to talk about. He does a fundraiser every year, and he plays several different venues and some fundraising and stuff. So stay tuned for that. We're just going to end today off by listening to the John Ladd's band doing Old Love. It's the Eric Clapton, Robert Cray tune, more of an acoustic version of it. And that was recorded at Tansley's in St. George in, I think, 2018, I believe. And then we're just going to end with the Hall & Oates, You Make My Dreams Come True. Until next time, it's Steve Todd. My co-host is Paul Schultz. Thanks a lot for listening to Musicians FAQ.
Whatever his name is. Bye. Goedenavond, met Bonita van der Pas van Brabant, Nederlands. Je bent aan luisteren 102.7 van CKMS Radio Waterloo. Goedemiddag.